opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, hope everybody had a great, great weekend, a great Father's Day weekend. Welcome to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR. Sal Capaccio with you. Glad to be with you. Hope you had a great weekend. Boy, the golf was pretty awesome, and I did not watch a ton of it. We had a lot of baseball this weekend, a lot of travel baseball, so I was doing that. But yesterday, actually went to the driving range in the evening. Like, yeah, Father's Day, go to the driving range, get some ice cream, did that. And then by the time I got home, golf was still on, which was great. Like, okay, let's watch this. Last, what, six holes or so? Man, what a putt from J.J. Spaun. Incredible. Did you watch that, Josh? Were you watching live when he hit the putt?
I actually missed it live because I didn't realize the weather delay stopped, and my dad and I started watching a movie instead, and then I just looked at my phone and saw J.J. Spaun wins, and I was like, wait, when did it restart? Like, I just completely missed the weather delay was over.
Yeah.
But that putt was incredible. Like, I couldn't imagine, you know, hitting a putt like that and to win the U.S. Open, let alone that, too. Like, that 64 feet, that's a long – on those greens, if he would have missed that, that ball would have gone a mile off the green, I think.
I don't know about a mile off, but I do agree with you that, to me, it appeared when it was heading there – I turned to Jan and Max. We were all watching, and I go, oh, that's too far. I mean, that's too far. And then, bam, it just sank. I agree with you that if he misses, you know, it's one of those things where, hey, it's a birdie putt. Go after it. For him, it's like, hey, just go after it. You know, don't leave it short. And he didn't. To me, that was going, I don't know, a good 5-6 feet pass, and then he would have had an interesting, because it was slowing down. Because if you look, who was he playing? It was Victor Hovland, right? And Hovland actually did that. And Hovland went past it by a few feet, but then it kind of stopped. But man, what a great all-time moment at the U.S. Open from a guy that was so unexpected. Do you know what his odds were before the tournament, Josh? Did you see that?
I think I saw it was like plus 1,500 or something like that, or 15,000 even?
Plus 150, I think, 151. So 15,000 on a $100 bet, yes.
Right, yeah. That's crazy.
I know, right? So if you would have bet $100 before the tournament on J.J. Spaun, I think it was worth $150,000 on a $15,000, excuse me, on a $100 bet. And I think after he bogeyed the first five of six holes, it got up to like 240 or something like that, you know? So yeah. What an incredible moment. And Father's Day weekend, you usually get a basketball game. We didn't have that. I think Jordan actually won it on Father's Day weekend one time. It was shortly after his dad was killed. And I remember like him in the locker room crying with the famous iconic shot of him on the floor with the trophy crying. I think that might have been on Father's Day, if I remember. But I could be wrong if I, you know, thinking back. I think the NBA has traditionally played on Father's Day for the NBA Finals. They didn't this year. The Stanley Cup, also still going on. They did not play yesterday. That's going to happen. You know what's funny? You think about this, Josh. After tonight, both the Stanley Cup and the NBA Finals are both going to be 3-2 in some way, shape, or form.
Which is great for people that want to keep watching the finals. Like, I'm hoping for Game 7 in both just because I don't want sports to end. But it's also just been, you know, really intense playoffs so far for both leagues, which is great to see.
And if you think about it, the NBA starts a month after the NHL, right? They start in November. The NHL starts in October, but they always end right around the same time. Now, in a year like this, you also had the Four Nations, so it does push the NHL a little bit, right? But even when they don't, they just have a regular All-Star game, it's usually right around the same time, maybe a week later for the NBA. But this year it's ending. I mean, conceivably, the NBA, I think, could end before the NHL. I think I have to look at the exact schedule, which, you know, and I think that's happened in the past, Olympic years, things like that. So tonight you have Game 5 between the Pacers and the Thunder. I think the Pacers, the way I look at it, I'm kind of rooting for the Pacers. I like the fact that, you know, it's the Pacers. They haven't been there in a while. They've never won one since the ABA. I like Halliburton. I think the Thunder will be around for a while. They're young. Not that the Pacers won't, but I think the Thunder will have some shots at it. I'm rooting for the Pacers, but I kind of think they had to win to get up 3-1. Now that it's 2-2 back at Oklahoma City, I'm thinking, I don't know. I think it's going to be tough for them. I see them kind of losing tonight and that it's tough to beat them two straight games. And they already did that, though. They did do that to get up 2-1. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. Who won game one? Did the Pacers win? The Pacers won game one, right? Pacers won game one, now that I think about that. But either way, the point is, I think maybe the Pacers, that was their chance. Like, the Thunder are just a better team, I think. But tonight we'll see one game, one series go to 3-2. And, of course, we have the other series, the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, and that is also 3-2 now in favor of Florida. Do you get the same sense, Josh, that Edmonton kind of had to win that game? Maybe, like, it might be a little too tough now for them to win two straight against the Panthers?
I don't know if they necessarily had to win that game, but they couldn't lose it the way they did. Like, they just went in there and got the doors blown off. Like, it was just one of those games where it was very unconvincing from Edmonton. And, you know, I think if they lose that game 3-2 and it's close right down to the end or something like that, like not necessarily that scoreline, but like a one-goal game where they're in it the whole time and it's back and forth, that's a lot different than losing 5-2 and having your goalie, your other goalie, your backup goalie kind of get blown out a little bit. And it's not all on the goaltender, but when you look at the options they have right now with whether it's Stuart Skinner or Calvin Pickard, it's not looking very good for their chances here. And that's where I look to, you know, how is, and everyone's been saying this, but how are McDavid and Draisaitl going to get this team to respond? And I don't know if they can after a loss like that going back to Florida. Like, it's going to be tough.
No doubt. I agree with that. Did you see the report over the weekend about Mitch Marner? Did you see that report over the weekend?
Yeah. That kind of changes things. That's a big bombshell.
I mean, the report is basically what? That he's done. All right. There was a report that he is definitely out of Toronto. Now, look, we've seen reports before. They don't have to be correct. It could be posturing on either side. I'm not really sure about it. I got to go and look exactly who had this report. I want to make sure. But wasn't that the report that's basically he's done? He's going to play for another team.
Yep. It was from Andy Strickland on
there you go,
Twitter.
Andy Strickland.
And yeah, I mean, if that's true, which, I mean, Strickland's had a lot of reports that are true before, then that changes things dramatically for, you know, the next 15 days or so, because we're coming up to July 1st now. So it's going to change things a lot if that's a true report. And it's also reported that he's looking for a shorter deal. Elliot Friedman was talking about that on his podcast. He might be looking for a 4-year deal, kind of like what Matthews did his last contract. Rather than signing the big long-term deal now, he could maybe sign a contract for a shorter one for 4 or 5 years and then get another big deal after that in his 30s. But I mean, I don't know if that changes his destination, but you know, that could change the price of the contract for a team that might not have as much cap space to sign him to a long-term deal. They could maybe try to sign him to a shorter one for a little bit less money. He's still going to get over $10 million, I think, but you know, it definitely changes things and how things may go.
It's funny the reaction from Leafs fans when you see the report, if you go to the comments or if you just type in Mitch Marner and you kind of scroll through, and I've done this, like, obviously he's been a really great Leaf, right? In the regard of how talented he is and the goals and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we talked to Carlo Colaiacovo a few weeks ago, and he's like, yeah, this guy's kind of, and I think he might have said in a way, like, he's underappreciated. Like, he's just been terrific, and, you know, he's better with them on the team. They're better with him than without him. But Leafs fans are interesting because this is what you go through, the stages of when you lose a great player, if you do lose a great player. I think maybe we've gone through this in Buffalo in some way, shape, or form, but when a player is leaving your team, it's like immediately, well, that's fine because I don't want to overpay for that guy, right? And that's, you see a lot of that. I saw someone posting memes, like a meme of like, oh, here's all these GMs rushing to overpay Mitch Marner. Glad it's not going to be the Leafs, right? You see that. And of course you hear about his maybe laziness as a defender, which, oh, by the way, he was also again getting votes for the Selke this year. I mean, right? This guy, the things about Marner are people saying, and then as a defender, and yet he gets votes every year seemingly for the Selke. You see all of that that's starting to come out. And then you do have some Leafs fans who are, you know, upset, no doubt about that as well. So it's kind of funny watching that reaction from afar. And I think it's just kind of the, you prepare yourself emotionally for that, which is how you get to, okay, I don't want him anyway. And then it talks about, and then you get to, okay, if that's the case, what about Tavares? What's going to happen with him? What about, are they going to go out and get and sign Sam Bennett? That's been the big thing, Josh, is, okay, that's fine. Let Marner go. We're just going to sign Sam Bennett anyway, right? Or maybe even Marchand.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a decent consolation prize with Sam Bennett. Obviously,
yes.
Like, it's not Mitch Marner, but it would be quite the player to sign for sure. Especially if, let's say, he wins the Stanley Cup. Like, hey, Stanley Cup champion Sam Bennett is coming here, you know? Like, it's not the best case scenario, but it's better than not having anyone at all, right? Like, that's kind of where we're at this point in the game.
803-0550 is the number to call. Let me set up the show for you a little bit more today as we go on here. We've talked about a few things that have happened over the weekend, and you're free to chime in on, you know, whatever kind of you want today. A lot going on in sports, right? U.S. Open golf. This is a way for me to get to the first six, I guess. What is going on here? I'm kind of confused. Why are they only announcing six people on each of the Olympic teams, Josh? Do we know? Do you know the reason behind this? I have not researched this or know this. There's a list of six players for each of the Olympic hockey teams, Germany, Sweden, Finland. They've done this. We have yet to hear from the United States and Canada, but why are they only listing six people so far right now?
To be honest, I'm not really sure either why it's only six.
Okay.
It started this morning. The IIHF was just posting thing. Like, when I got here, it started getting posted because it's kind of, you know, worldwide and all that. So they post at random points in the day. But so far right now, we have Sweden, Italy, Finland, Latvia, Switzerland, Czechia, and Germany, like, and Slovakia. So it's getting there. They released a list of teams that would announce it today, and the U.S. and Canada are on there. But I don't really know why it's only six players. It might be those are the six players that are for sure, like, for sure playing.
Yeah,
and then the
for
teams
sure.
are
like,
gonna,
well, that is part of it. They are for sure, but I mean, like, right. Do they not know any other? Okay, here's an example. Like, we're pretty sure JJ Paterka is going to play for Germany, right? But yet JJ Paterka not among the six guys listed.
That's the biggest shock of the morning so far, in my opinion, because you look at the guys that are listed, and obviously Leon Draisaitl is going to play. Tim Stützle in from Ottawa, he's a great talent. He's going to play. Same with Moritz Seider, and Philip Grubauer is a great goaltender. He's going to be on that team. But then the other two guys, not to say that they shouldn't be there, but Nico Sturm and Lucas Reichel, they are second-year players in the NHL. Maybe, I think Sturm is even in his first year still, and they're not all that talented yet. It's not like they're, you know, top five picks or anything like that. It's like they're just kind of good German players you expect to be on the team, but they're not guys you would expect to be announced in the first six. Paterka is a guy you expect to be announced in the first six, and he's not, which is just kind of really weird. I don't know if it has anything to do. I don't think it has anything to do with what's going on with the Sabres, but, like, I just am baffled that he's not in this first six. I don't think he won't play, but I just can't imagine why he wouldn't be one of their first guys they pick.
Right. It just seems a bit odd. The one saber we know that has been chosen is Rasmus Dahlin. I've not seen another one come across, correct?
No, that's the only one so far. And I don't even think there's former sabers yet, really. Oh, Zemgus Girgensons. Sorry.
Yeah. In Latvia. Zemgus Girgensons.
Yep.
For Latvia, which makes sense, obviously. But yeah, I have not. I haven't seen any other sabers come across, just Rasmus Dahlin, but J.J. Paterka, very interesting. This is kind of the summer of J.J. Paterka a little bit, isn't it? For people like us.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Talk radio or what's going on. It's just a lot of wondering what's going to happen. His name now has been floated out. There was also, how about this? Think Beacon of the Weekend, right? A report over the weekend about how the Calgary Flames are interested in both, Marco Rossi and J.J. Paterka. Did you see that one?
I did see that one too. That's an interesting, bit of this saga now is what teams are going to start to show interest in him and things like that. And, the Rossi stuff has been out for a while now, but I think with Paterka specifically, now that the Sabres, according to Friedman, are going to start listening to offers more than they were before, you're going to kind of see teams that are really pushing for it come out now in the next week or so, which is definitely going to open some doors and open some potential trade ideas that some people are going to love and some people are going to hate.
Yeah, so J.J. Paterka's name is out there as far as teams being interested, as far as would the Sabres want to move him to, shake up and bring in, maybe someone on the blue line or hopefully not prospects, right? I think that's not something they necessarily need. They have the 9th pick overall, but it's also his name is out there because he's an RFA. And well, if the Sabres don't trade him, what does that look like? What kind of contract is he going to be, in for? A lot going on this weekend. You want to chime in on that? But also I have a question for you today because we're going to have today at 11 a.m. Matt Bove join us. Now, Matt is obviously the co-host of the podcast we do together called It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. So Matt and I have that going on, but I'm going to bring him on for something a little bit different today. Matt has a series that's starting this week over at WKBW TV Channel 7 that I know he put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in and talked to a lot of people, and I've seen a preview of it. It's absolutely fantastic. And the series is about the current Highmark Stadium and this being the last year, closing down, moving into a new one, and memories. And I threw out there on Twitter/X, at Sal Sports. There you go. Eichel named. Somebody said Eichel named a Team USA. I don't think we've seen Team USA, right? I don't think we've seen that. That has not come out yet, unless I just missed it, unless it didn't last a little while. There's nothing in the top six, Nick, from Team USA yet. Let me see. Let me go here, unless this just happened in the last few minutes. We have Denmark. Denmark just came over 53 seconds ago. Slovakia was 51. So every hour, it looks like Denmark has Frederik Andersen. So yeah, no former Sabres I can see there. So thanks, Nick. But Eichel has not been to Team USA as far as I know yet. Maybe that's already been out there in some way, shape, or form. Thank you for that. All right. So what's going to happen is Matt Bove is going to join me at 11 o'clock. We are going to talk about his series that he has put a lot into on the current stadium. I hate calling it the old stadium. It's not. It's not old yet. They're still playing there. And hopefully, I would say, how many home games this year? 9 home games this year. So hopefully 11 total, right, is what we're looking at. Maybe even 12, but hopefully 11, because then you get to an AFC championship game after a divisional round game. And I was one of the people that Matt interviewed for this, but one of many, many, many people who have played there, coached there. I'm talking about inside the stadium, played, coached, attended, been in the front office for, whatever, anything. And Matt's got a great series coming up on WKBW TV Channel 7. He's going to tell us all about it at 11 a.m. and kind of what struck him and some of the things that you can see and hear when this series hits the airwaves. I've seen some of it. It's really, really cool. It's really cool. So I'll let Matt kind of do that for you at 11 a.m. All right. We also have Sal Majorana. That's right. His weekly Monday appearance. Sal Majorana joining me at 10:30 a.m. This is not going to be pretty when Sal talks about the Yankees and Red Sox and the Yankees overall, because the Yankees got swept. It is the first time they've been swept all season, and it's the first time they've been swept by the Red Sox in 2 years, and it wasn't pretty. It did not look good. They lost one after not hitting the ball all game, and then Judge gets a home run in the bottom of the ninth, and they lose in the 10th anyway. Lost yesterday 2-0, couldn't hit the ball. Lost on Friday night. So Sal's going to join me. But it's not just about that. How about the trade? Massive trade yesterday. After the Yankees play the Red Sox, after Rafael Devers hits a home run over the Green Monster, the Red Sox trade basically their best player, Rafael Devers, at least their best hitter. They trade him to the San Francisco Giants. And there's a lot that's kind of the background of this, of once they signed Alex Bregman, that they wanted him to switch positions. He's been at odds with the front office. And apparently, the Red Sox and Rafael Devers have not been on the same page for quite a while. And that has led to the Red Sox trading Rafael Devers yesterday to the San Francisco Giants for basically like 3 pitchers and a prospect. 4 pitchers, I think it's what it was, total. So we'll get with Sal on that. Sal Majorana is going to join me here at 10:30 a.m. The question I have for you that I'd like you to answer today as we go forward with Matt, do you have a favorite Bills game memory that you attended? Now, it could be something, of course. We've done this like, hey, I attended with my dad and, you know, he's no longer around. And obviously, you know, that's a great, you know, memory that you were with that person. I kind of want to focus more about like the on-field games that you were at. And like, man, that was just a great game to be at, because this happened or that happened, and it was just electric in that stadium. Obviously, the comeback comes to mind. If you were to ask and poll, I don't know, 100,000 Bills fans, 1,000 Bills fans, whatever, like, what's the greatest game inside the stadium, the game that mattered the most, a game you attended, even? I think the comeback would win number one, right? The greatest comeback in NFL history, 1992, wild card, January of 93, the Bills are down 35-3. They come back against the Houston Oilers. Yes, I think that would be number one. I think the one that I choose would be right up there as well. 51-3 against the Raiders for a totally different reason. It was not a comeback. It was not stressful whatsoever, other than the first maybe 90 seconds of the game, I think. Whatever. I think the Raiders were up 3-0, in fact. And then the Bills came down and scored 41 straight points. It might have been 3-0. Maybe it was 7-3. But either way, it was early on, Raiders had scored. Bills up 41-3 at halftime. We know they're going to the Super Bowl. It's a party, right? We have that. We have the perfect game from just a few years ago against the New England Patriots. You also have against the Patriots in 2011. There's just been so many great games over the years. Does one stand out to you that you attended? That you attended? That you're like, that was just a special game that serves as a great memory for me. Doesn't have to be even the best game ever played. It was just a great memory for you being inside that stadium on the field. Let's go to Jonathan in Batavia starting us off. Hi, Jonathan. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for the show. My two favorite Bills memories of games that I attended, it was back-to-back and ironic. The first one was in 2013 against Carolina, which ended with a E.J. Manuel walk-off touchdown to Stevie Johnson. And then the very next game I attended was the next year against Minnesota, the Kyle Orton walk-off touchdown to Sammy Watkins. So it's 2014.
Wow.
So those two games, I sent it back-to-back.
I love it. I love it. I could tell you, I had a different, very different perspective, Jonathan, for both those games. Number one, 2013, I was not on the sidelines yet, but I was in the radio booth with the radio crew, and I was helping out with stats, and I remember being there, and I remember when Ron Rivera decided to kick the field goal instead of get a yard to win the game. He kicks the field goal, and of course, the Bills go down. They get helped by pass interference, but I'm up in the radio booth. And then for the Sammy Watkins game, there's pictures everywhere of me like looking right at Watkins' feet. He was coming right at me, right at the goal line. Bam, I saw that. That was my first year on the sidelines for the Bills, and that was very, very cool to be in that stadium when that happened. And on that drive, if you remember, it was down the middle. I think Scott Chandler might have caught it on a fourth down. Like, how did the Bills convert it? Like, down the middle. Crazy. But yeah, thank you, Jonathan. I appreciate that memory from you. Two really good ones. 803-0550 if you want to jump on board. We have a lot of people who are chiming in on Twitter, and you are more than welcome to do that as well. W Fed says, don't remember the year, but the Bills beat the Dolphins on Monday Night Football, and fans took down the goalposts. Monday Night Football goalposts? Yeah, I mean, they took down the goalposts. Was the Monday Night Football game they did that? Might have been really early on. First time I remember goalposts coming down and knowing it happened at the stadium was 1980, though, which was not a Monday Night game. And then it happened again against the Dolphins after they clinched a division 1 year. Brandon in Ransomville. What's up, Brandon?
Hello?
Hi, Brandon. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. The snow game against the Colts was a fun one. It was all tailgate. It was beautiful, sunny, and then right around the beginning of the game, it just turned around and snow falling.
Yeah.
And the rest is history. I ended up winning the game on, I believe, a LeSean McCoy rushing touchdown.
They did, and that was 2017, and you know, if the Bills don't win that game, they never break the drought that year. They don't make
That's
the playoffs.
That's a very good point.
You remember, Brandon, what happened in that game? There was a controversial two-point conversion pick play called against the Colts, I believe, and they took 2 points off the board, and then they went for an extra point and missed it. I think that was what happened in that game, and everything kind of fell in line for the Bills that game. Man, good memories here. That's great. LeSean McCoy in the snow. He's always been so good in the snow. And yes, that game, I have pictures on my phone still of how that game was, the field was kind of green and the turf was out. And then I'm suddenly, bam, the snow starts coming and it's just covered by the end of the game. Let's go to one more this segment. Then we'll hit Sal Mayeron at 10:30. Sean in Niagara Falls. Sean, what do you got for me?
Hi, Sal. Good morning. Pleasure to be on with you.
You got it.
My greatest memory is the first game my dad ever took me to, and if I'm not mistaken, it was against Miami, I think, and that was the game Jerry Butler broke his leg and never played again.
Oh, 1986, I believe, in the end zone, catches the touchdown, and he breaks his leg and he never plays. That's right. Hey, Sean, you know what's Jerry Butler was my favorite player growing up. I was a wide receiver, so that's why I wore number 80 as a kid in high school.
Same.
How about that?
Same.
I love
it. Exact reason I started liking the Bills, Sal.
I love it, Sean. Thanks a lot. I appreciate that. Great memory. Great call to end the segment. We will have Sal Mayorana coming up next. I tweeted out, it's not going to be pretty hearing Sal talk about the Yankees. He quote tweeted and said, no, it's not. He is fired up to talk about the Yankees and what they did not do against the Boston Red Sox over the weekend. Plus a big trade by the Red Sox. And it wasn't just the Yankees. The Mets got swept this weekend. In fact, go through. We were watching this morning. Max and I were watching before school on SportsCenter, like some baseball highlights. And it seemed like every single thing they showed was this team swept and that team swept and another team swept. And I'm like, oh, my God, like there's just sweep after sweep after sweep for baseball this weekend. All right. We will take a timeout here. We will come back. And when we do, we'll have Sal Mayorana from the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle and also Pinstripe People, the newsletter. I don't wonder what that's going to read like over the next couple of days from the Yankees. But we're going to talk baseball. We get our weekly appearance from Sal Mayorana up next in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.